Você está ouvindo o episódio Ciclismo Virtual do Gregário Cycling. Nesse bloco, nós conversamos com um dos fundadores da Ruvi, o CEO da marca, o tcheco Petr Samek. Esse programa é um oferecimento da Nomad Sports. Se você pedala indoor, vale a pena conferir a linha deles. Tem tapete, tem protetor de suor, itens que vão ajudar a preservar a sua bike e a sua casa enquanto você se diverte pedalando. Visite o site deles, Nomad Sports, esportes em inglês, sem o E, .com.br. Tem muita coisa legal lá e a parte indoor é bem bacana. Lembrando também que o Gregário Cycling é amigo da ciclovia Rio Pinheiros. O ponto de encontro do ciclista paulistano está de portas abertas. Mas lembre-se, use a máscara, cuide-se, cuide dos outros, mesmo quando estiver pedalando. Desde 2003, dois irmãos da República Tcheca buscam alternativas para deixar o pedal indoor mais divertido e interativo. Desse trabalho nasceu em 2017 a Ruvi, um dos aplicativos mais populares da atualidade, principalmente por seus cenários muito realísticos de qualquer parte do mundo, seja o Stelvio, a Lagoa da Pampulha ou o Plano Piloto em Brasília. O Gregário Cycling conversou com um desses irmãos e CEO da marca, Petr Samek. Um papo em inglês, liderado pelo Álvaro Pacheco, pelo Nicolas Sessler e pelo nosso convidado especial, Luiz Freitas. Se liga que tá bem legal.
Petr, thank you very, very much for being with us directly from the Czech Republic, from Ruvi's global headquarters, honoring Gregário Cycling and our listeners with your presence today.
My pleasure. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. As anything virtual, we are virtual here on this show, having you in the Czech Republic, Nicolas in Spain, and both Luis and myself in São Paulo. So with that, Nicolas, maybe you want to start? As a pro cyclist?
First of all, it's a huge pleasure to have Petr on the show with us. And I want to begin, Petr. What does the Brazilian market in the eyes of Ruvi looks like? Why supporting competition in Brazil?
You know, Brazil is a huge market. There is so many of cyclists. And we see a huge potential. We have a great partners in Brazil, and we believe that we are able to bring a great VR experience in cycling indoor.
I've noticed it as a pro cyclist that from maybe 2017, 2018 to here, it has grown a lot through the, let's say, broadening of the use of smart trainers, power meters and everything. But looking it as a professional sport or as a new modality, perhaps, there's a lot of being said about the esports and its introduction into the Olympic Games and things like that. How do you, and as a company also, how do you look to the future towards that as professionalizing some sort of new sport modality, perhaps?
Well, I think that it's, from my perspective, I believe that the physical esport is just another cycling category. Of course, there are still some challenges. We have to, not only our platform, but all platforms has to resolve some issues with cheating, some issues with some other troubles. But especially in our case, the future is to be able to digitalize one-to-one outdoor courses and bring these courses inside. After that, we could be able to organize some e-races. At the same time, like outdoor race, we could be able to promote the outdoor events. So, you know, the idea is to have 360 services for race organizers to be able to promote the outdoor events and to be able to engage the and indoor community of cyclists to invite them to ride and to register into outdoor race. So definitely there is a future.
You mean like the idea would be we have the Tokyo Olympic Games real life and the Tokyo Olympic Games esports version, like copying the circuit or the modality?
The core sport will be outdoor, and professional sport will be outdoor. But definitely the indoor solution and indoor platforms could be a great how to connect the professionals with the hobbies and with the cycling community of fans and something like this. So at least for next couple of years, I see the core of professional races outdoor, definitely.
One point that's worth remarking is that we learned from Schubert, who organizes the Brazilian virtual esports for cycling, that last year the test events was not really the championship. The championship is going to be 2021. But the winner was a Brazilian cyclist who resides in Germany. So I think that's a good example on the dynamics and the flexibility that having esports provides. Independent of your physical geography, if your natural country belongs, you can participate on that championship and not physically being there, which brings much broader horizons to organizers or to participants.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity to be able to mix people from different countries to organize the e-race and to invite people from all the world to ride in the one event. In terms of regional championships, in terms of Brazil championship, in terms of events that we would like to organize together with partners in Brazil, it's a great start of the long-term partnership. And we believe that we are able to make a great promotion of the country, the great promotion of the cycling as a sport, and that's it. That's definitely an opportunity.
Do you have contact with UCI, Olympic Committee, or something like that? Some organizations, are they interested in VR or Ruby? Or
of course, we are in touch with UCI. We have a serious discussions about e-regulations, or the regulations for esport already exist. There are plans to organize the esport events. There UCI has so many plans. There is no discussions about esport as definitely everybody understands that there is a special category for esport in future, and the physical esport, which is a VR or indoor cycling, it's and will be another extra category for UCI.
How do you see the current professional teams, like you've had the Movistar or Canyon SRAM and the women's, or many teams that have brought, especially during the pandemic, to continue to generate traffic and publicity to the team? How do you expect them to impact e-racing in general and help to increase its visibility and its usage?
It's new, of course. The market is for them new. They are trying to find a way how to be visible in the indoor cycling community. They are trying to find a way how to monetize the activities how to promote their partners, of course. Some teams are more effective. Some teams have found already some ways how to do it. But in general, I see two different layers. So the first layer is, let's say, very similar model like outdoor. It means that they are active in e-races and official professional e-races. Maybe they will have an extra team for indoor cycling because it's quite different. There are some specific aspects of indoor cycling, especially e-races and e-racing in the indoor cycling. To be honest, I really believe that the biggest opportunity for the professional teams is in the connection with their community. It means that just to connect and ride some specific ride with Cancellara, with somebody
engage with the community, let's say, and bring proximity
as a marketing tool, not a training tool.
You know, in a way, we are trying to find how to help to professional teams, and not just to professional teams, but the race organizers, to be able to communicate with the cyclists. And in our case, we have a group ride that you are able to organize some group ride. You are able to invite through the Rovik community any athletes, any cyclists to ride with you, to compare themselves with you as a professional rider. You are able to communicate with them. In future, we would like to have some extra communication channels. You know, that's an engagement that it's global. You are able to connect everybody from all over the world. And that's definitely something what it's not to realize outdoor because it's regional, it's limited. Yes.
What about the usage during those crazy COVID times? How was, from your standpoint as Rovik Global, what kind of usage pattern were observed for the last 18 months?
Last 18 months was quite hectic, definitely. It was quite crazy time. Probably the same like all other platforms. We had a huge growth. We have three, almost four times bigger community than a year ago. So it's huge, and in our case especially, we were able to organize professional five stages with professional cyclists. And that was it was very, very successful series of stages, or series of races with a huge media impact. And it was a great start of the, let's say, great start of the COVID time for Rovik. But you know, it sounds terrible. But from business perspective, it was very interesting for us, and it was it helped us to accelerate the business a lot.
You've mentioned before Peloton and Swift as the two main competitors or perhaps potential partners in the growing of the virtual esport world. How does Rovik differentiate from them so that listeners understand it a little bit for those who are not so usual to the different systems that we have today in the virtual cycling world?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much for your question, because it's a very good question. You know, Rovik focuses on indoor cycling reality. So our market position is quite different. We don't compete with Zwift too much because Zwift is gaming. Zwift is it's more about social, about community, about gaming, about virtual world. We try to focus on reality. So we try to simulate your outdoor experience inside. And therefore we digitalize the outdoor courses one-to-one. Therefore we try to simulate the resistance as precise as possible. And so your experience could be comparable outdoor indoor. So that's our market position, and we are very sensitive to keep this position on the market.
Yeah, it would be like what Formula One teams use when they have their real car simulator inside their headquarters, let's say.
Correct. Yeah, that's the idea, and we will do our best to keep this direction.
And what you think you bring for the future? New features or new?
Or let me help, because of course there's some trade secrets.
Yes.
Which direction you believe the industry is going on indoor cycling?
That's a difficult question. I think that there is many of ways, and you can see group sessions like Peloton on demand section or live sessions. We can see some better 3D engine like RTG in comparison with Zwift. There are some options. In our case, we have roadmap for next 5 years in terms of technologies, in terms of what we would like to publish as part of the of Rowing in terms of features. What I'm able to say right now that what we definitely want to bring in next months, it's a possibility to write the workouts, the structured trainings, trainings, but in combination with some real videos, in combination with some content that we have already in the platform. You know, it's important to enable some mix of different kind of trainings that user is able to choose. It's not about to ride a real race, real course only. So it means that we control your resistance on the trainer based on elevation profile. But sometimes people wants to train based on the structured profiles, and because it's more effective for specific kind of trainings. So we would like to enable all these options in next months.
And what about on the hardware side? Because there was significant evolution on the trainers, from the direct drive, from the inclination of the fork. I understand there's some evolutions to come on the steering, that you have a field that you're steering the bike to make the turns. What kind of evolutions? Just as a note, a few days ago, I saw a gigantic treadmill that the person was biking there. It might cost a cost of a house, so it's not affordable to everybody. But on the more real world, which kind of features you expect on the hardware side to be offered over the next few years?
That's a question. I believe that the period of classic trainers it's out, so it's away. Hopefully, we will have more and more smart trainers, direct drive trainers, especially because it's very precise. There is a good and realistic feelings. We have very good experience with smart bikes. So I think that the future is in these technologies, in combination with the even higher precise and more realistic feelings during a session. Probably we will all, let's say that all these technologies are very helpful for us, because if we are speaking about a simulation, we are more than happy that we are able to work with more and more precise trainers that are able to react immediately on our profile elevation changes or some. So it's great, and it helped us to make the simulation even more realistic. In terms of gearings, in terms of steerings, in terms of whatever else, all these technologies are important for us, and we plan to work with. We work already with some technologies. We plan to integrate all these new technologies as soon as possible.
Out of curiosity, when you look at the whole world, how does the different countries compare in usage of the platform? Which is leading? Which markets are more using it more? I don't know, China, US, Europe, Africa, maybe even Latin America. How is it?
Yeah, historically we are very strong in Europe and US, but in last months and let's say last 6 months, we are very successful in Brazil, in Colombia, and Japan. That these regions are so strong for us. Especially Japan is very, very interesting. We had some series of very successful indoor events. Let's say we digitalized very famous Japan races, And together with the race organizers, we were able to organize some great promotion of these digital versions. And the effect is that right now we are very popular in Japan. And the same we would like to realize in Brazil in next weeks and months.
What the Brazilian public can expect from this forthcoming event on April 24th to happen on the virtual city of Brasilia? I understand there's some new features and there's some new releases that are going to be available to the Latin American Brazilian public.
We plan to digitalize at least 7 really great courses from Brazil that could be available on the Norway platform. Based on this, together with our partners in Brazil, we wanna organize a series of e-races and events, and so definitely what I'm able to promise is that we will have great courses, great content on the Norway platform, and everybody from globally, from anywhere, will be able to ride in Brazil, like in Rio.
That's exciting. And Pita, I would like to thank you very, very much for your participation directly from Ruvi headquarters at Gregario Cycling. Count on us on stimulating more people to discover, enjoy, and fell in passion with indoor cycling as a reality, which I believe is a phrase that Ruvi uses. Once again, thank you very, very much for being here with us. And I'll leave you with your closing remarks.
As a fan and a user of Ruvi, I thank you because it's a great, 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 great experience riding using Ruvi.
Thank you very much and enjoy the rest of the day.
Você acabou de ouvir o fundador da Ruvi, o tcheco Peter Samek. Ouça também as outras entrevistas desse programa. A gente conversou com Schubert Abreu e com a ciclista amadora Pri Pradines. O Gregário Cycling toda semana apresenta um tema novo para você. Se inscreva na sua plataforma de podcast preferida e não perca nenhum programa.